and gentlemen,
prepare yourself.
Prepare yourselves.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
For Greg Papa.
Sleeping Boy to Superman.
San Francisco.
And John Lund.
It's 10 o'clock. Let's hit it.
This is Papa and Lund.
That's right. We're getting it going.
Getting it going.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680. The Sports Leader.
Sports Leader.
One and one the count. Here it comes. There's a line drive, base hit to right field. Turner scores. Rojas to second. Rivas knocks in a run, and now it's a one-run game. And there's still nobody out. Tyler Rogers has allowed 5 hits in a row. 1-2 pitch. Yaz bounce one down the right field line. A whistler. That one is gone. A home run. I thought it was going to be off the wall or maybe up against the wall somehow, and it snuck over the wall down the right field line, and it's 4-2 Giants. He throws. Struck him out swinging with a slider. Beautiful. It ends up being a great inning for Doval.
Well, innings ago, and now Robbie Ray called the trainer out. Bob Melvin, Dave Greschner hustling out to the mound. Here comes Brian Price. And it's almost like he's grabbing the back of his leg, hamstring maybe.
Yes, thanks for joining us. I was going to sing Viva Las Vegas, but maybe I'll sing the old Don Meredith turn out the lights, the party's over. And maybe I won't do that either. Welcome in. It is a Monday edition of the show of Papa and Lund. We have a lot to discuss. Weird weekend for the Giants, especially the best rotation in baseball. We'll get into that conversation. Papa and I, and we're Las Vegas. We will give you our observations, both on and off the field. Cut down day is on the way. We got that too. Jim Harbaugh is a strange character. The guy's getting caught in the elevator. We'll discuss that too and more. Good morning, my friend.
Was that at Jerry's World? What did Trey Lance break the elevator too?
Oh my
from
God.
Five picks? They were stuck
oh
in an elevator
God.
In Jerry's Palace for 2 hours? What elevator was that?
How about that? Yeah, that was the Trey Elevator Express. Oh, my goodness, Trey.
He ran well, but he had some good throws. But, man, five picks of the pick six.
You mean Terrell Pryor? Terrell Pryor, Lance?
No, I mean, no, Lance? No, I don't even know. They switched positions already. So
it's time.
Honestly, I'm gonna wonder it's about time. Them releasing him between now and 1 o'clock tomorrow. How are they going to do that? The third quarterback rule is a little different in the NFL. We'll explain it later on, but Cooper Rush obviously to back up Dak, and I wonder what they'll do. They'll probably hang on to him to justify giving up a fourth-round pick, which turned into Malik Mustafa, maybe your starting safety, 2 weeks' time. But a wild football game on Friday night. I thought the Niners had the game over. They come out of the two-minute warning with Antonio Pierce only having 2 timeouts. I'm not sure how that happened. The last play was insane.
Oh
so it was a fun game. We'll get into it. I didn't see you all weekend. You were in Vegas. I didn't. I went and saw Boy George.
Did you really?
Saturday night. Saw Boy George. I never seen
that's
Boy
how
George.
I missed you, because Saturday night I actually went over to the Wynn and had a nice Italian dinner. And then I won't ever call her again. But yeah, had a nice Italian dinner at the Wynn.
Where did you go to the place right by the sports book there?
No, you know what? We were going to, and then we got it. There was another Italian place.
Sinatra's there, too.
Yeah, it was really nice, and had the family in town and had a great time, and actually did quite well in the sports book there. Hit a 14 baseball parlay. My sister's like,
I can't go in a sports book.
I know, you
can't.
I'm sorry.
There's a restaurant right above the sports book where you
can
hover
there,
so you're not there. But anyway, yeah, I saw Boy George. I've never seen him.
That's cool, man.
But I don't know if it's fitting at age 63 to call him Boy George anymore. Mm-hmm. But he's still trying, and it was interesting. But, I know you'll miss me, and I'll tumble for you as we segue to what happened over the weekend. Wow. And you just came, I mean, to take the Tyler Rogers outing on Friday night. You got a 5-1 lead going to the bottom of the eighth inning against a team that fired their manager. They got a new guy in there. They hired Edgar Martinez to change their approach. I wish the Giants, I know Pat the Bat's teaching it, but it was pretty obvious Seattle is changing in certain RBI situations, and you love to see the Giants do that. But, I mean, Tyler Rod, that was 17 pitches. 17 pitches. It was crappy contact, what Tim Lincecum was searching for his whole career. Tyler Rogers gets it, but it just founds grass over and over. And, you know, 6 singles later, it's tied. It's like, what happened? Then you wind up losing with that damn runner at second base. And then Blake Snell's not Blake, especially in the second inning. Even Hayden Birdsong had a short outing, and now we're wondering about the Robbie Ray hamstring injury, John. They're going to have to find a pitcher somewhere, I'm not sure. But really, the whole weekend unraveled in Seattle in that eighth inning. You gave up six singles in 17 pitches? What the hell happened?
I agree. That was wild. And, you know, Bob talked about it. And like you said, 17 pitches, six singles. Maybe I'm 100% wrong in this. You and I talked about this, I think, on Thursday, because we spent so much time on the 49ers on Friday from the Palatial Studios there at Sirius XM in Vegas, where we had a great time. But we talked about, you know, Bruce Bochy versus Bob Melvin. We talked about before this series started where you had to manage with the urgency of a playoff game. And so, look, maybe Bruce Bochy wouldn't have gotten a guy up in time, but you're sitting there watching those hits, one, two, three, and you're thinking to yourself, you're leaving him in, you're leaving him in, you're leaving him in. So it happened fast, so maybe Bochy wouldn't have done it or would have done it the same way. I just have a feeling he wouldn't have. Maybe I'm wrong in that assessment, but I think it's safe to say that sometimes you push the buttons right, and you and I have discussed this on many occasions. It doesn't mean you're wrong because it didn't work out. But in this case, man, I think Bob's just having a tough year. That was rough to watch.
Well, I just happened so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, 17 pitches and boom, you know, you're all of a sudden you're tied. It's like, what just happened here? So you had to stop it some way, but they weren't barreling them. But then, you know, the starting rotation just gave you nothing all weekend. Hayden Birdsong went four innings, and they're going to have to manage him. They skipped Kyle Harrison. He's not pitching to Milwaukee, which I wondered, why would you not have Blake Snell pitch on Friday and have Birdsong go the next night? Birdsong was pitching well. His command was not there, but they didn't score on him, and then he's out of the game. And then, you know, Blake Snell, and we'll talk to Susan coming up later. Susan Slusser was in Seattle all weekend. Blake Snell, whether he's got something wrong with him physically or they wanted to back off because he's throwing so many pitches here, which is part of the reason about, you know, signing him to a new contract. And he doesn't throw deep into games and innings. Even when he won his two Cy Young Awards each year, he threw 170 innings. If you're going to pay him that kind of money, you'd like to get Logan Webb 200-plus out of him. He was out of the game. Like, what happened? He threw a 40-pitch second. He nibbled a lot and just didn't go well. They wound up winning that game. But the back end of the bullpen now is completely different with Camilo Duvall back and what Ryan Walker is doing and what Jordan Hicks is doing and not doing. He's so erratic in that role. I just wondered. I was in studio with Sergio Romo for a while, and we talked about it. It's not necessarily velocity, but it's swing and miss stuff. And Sergio did not have high-end velocity, but he had that no-dot slider. And he got a lot of swings and misses, you know, especially right on right. Tyler Rogers does not get a lot of swing and misses. The ball's in play. And he's one pitch away from a double play and getting out of it. But he's also 17 pitches away of coughing up a 5-1 lead. And, like, what just happened with six crappy singles? It's like, so, you know, you want him to put the ball in play or do you want him to swing and miss? Because you got guys now in the back end of the bullpen. Ryan Walker, what a weekend going back to Seattle, John. And obviously Camilo, we'll see if he figured it out. He was in a tough situation and then got out of the next inning clean. And, you know, Jordan Hicks can be a swing and miss guy. I mean, the question now, Tyler's had a good year. We're not going to fixate on one bad outing. But in those situations, late in games, power, arms, Lou Piniella always wanted, figuring guys later in games tired, later in seasons they tired, and they didn't quite reach high-velocity fastball. Do you rearrange the back end of your bullpen a little bit and maybe insert Camilo Duvall in the Tyler Rogers role and then Hicks where he's available? I'll leave Brian Walker, obviously, in the closer role in the ninth inning and more. But, I mean, you needed swing and miss stuff on Friday night. You didn't get it there.
I agree with you 100%. This is just me, and maybe it's just because it's cool to watch coming out of a guy's hand. But every team that you seem to go against, like Munoz, for example, with the Mariners, these guys with nasty sliders and the 100-mile-an-hour fastball, as he was throwing and looking as nasty as he was, I was thinking to myself, well, that's what Duvall used to be. And I like where Walker is because, you know, he's pitching in the ninth and he seems kind of Teflon. He doesn't seem to let the moment get to him. He's got a calm demeanor. I like him in the ninth. I like Duvall right now in the eighth. Maybe next year it changes, whatever, spring training. But Duvall in the eighth, swing and miss stuff. Walker calm in the ninth inning, which is what you need. I like that. And moving forward, I think that's what they should be doing. But Tyler Rogers has always made me nervous. I don't know. Again, it's probably because of the velocity and everything. And once guys get used to the funkiness of him, then teams that see him again and again and again tend to do okay against him. The Mariners just might have gotten lucky, whatever the case may be. But again, it's in my head. 72 miles an hour is like, well, you should be able to hit that. Now, it's funky. If you haven't seen him, he probably makes guys look sillier than any other pitcher in the league. And like you said, it wasn't like things were hard hit. They're not. But I love velocity at the end of a game. Maybe it's just the sexiness of it, you know?
Yeah, I you know, when you throw hard, they hit it hard because they don't, you know, they don't have to generate it with the swing. So obviously, Tyler Rogers, is he the softest thrower in all of baseball now?
Gotta be.
But it's funky. It works. He's having a good year. He just didn't have a good night. I mean, the opponent's exit velocity off of him is 85.2 miles per hour. That's the top 2% in Major League Baseball. So Tim Lincecum is a strikeout pitcher, but Tim always looked for crappy contact. Tyler Rogers gets crappy contact all the time. It's just crappy results. So I mean, that's what happened. And the weekend, you know, you had chances to win the game yesterday. Ramos had a good weekend with the two bombs. Grant McRae. Wait, is that guy better offensively than we all think he is? He can hit a cutter from a right-hander in. Both of his home runs have been bombs. So I don't want to surmise the entire weekend in Seattle in 17 pitches, John. But it certainly changed when you go to the bottom of the eighth against an offense that's even worse than yours, one of the worst in baseball. All they do is strike out, and a 5-1 lead is gone like that in 17 pitches? What happened?
All right, we got a lot more on the Giants bone today from Robbie Ray's MRI and the rest, and that maybe drove a nail into the Giants. Got a lot of games left against a lot of good teams, and that is going to be difficult. But we'll continue the conversation. But let's get you ready for Matt Barros at the bottom of the hour. Things we saw in Las Vegas over the weekend on the field as far as that game is concerned. We'll give you those things. Plus, now that the preseason is officially over, what are our takeaways and the news, at least on Trent Williams this morning, is not great. We'll give you all that stuff, and then Matt Barros at the bottom of the hour from The Athletic to talk some more Niners only.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What makes a Carnival cruise fun? A picture-perfect beach day in Cozumel, or a tropical adventure to Mayan ruins with snorkel excursion for good measure. A delectable surf and turf at sea, topped off with craft cocktails at Alchemy Bar. Now, get some Z's. You never know what tomorrow will bring. Why? Because no one does fun like Carnival. Carnival, choose fun.
Ships Registry, Bahamas, Panama.
Here on the Sports Leader.
Listen to the Sports Leader anywhere, anytime. Download the all-new KNBR app. We are your proud home of 49ers football. KNBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM.
So you got to go to the end zone now. Is it deep enough to get in the end zone? No. It is caught by Trent Taylor. And he laterals it back to Roddy Bell. Nugent, the Sioux, got the ball. It's crazy. Roddy Bell slipping it back now. Cody Schrader's got it. Mordecai's got it. The quarterback's got it. He can't throw it again, though. That one go forward.
There's the penalty. Yep,
yeah, that was
it.
A forward pass.
I love there's no quitting. Any fumbles, and there we go. Gutierrez, and he fumbles.
The Raiders Niners turned into Cal Stanford at the end.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a bonanza.
That was fun.
I like the bonanza there at the end. We almost did have the band is on the field. It was crazy at the end, 24-24. Thank God they don't do overtime in the preseason. But that was a fun game. I mean, you don't like to see a punt return against the 49ers. But then you had Garendo with the kick return for 94. He almost goes. They score a touchdown on that one. Brock played for a while. A couple of great catches. Debo to open it with a 27-yard on the sideline. Kittle between two defenders. at midfield, had some good plays throughout. So I know the off-the-field stuff and all the different things that we can discuss, which we will throughout the 4 hours today. Matt Barros is going to join us in about 10 minutes, his takeaways from the preseason now that it is officially over. But what did you think of the game on Friday night?
Well, we're going to break it down in the playbook on a Monday, and Brock played well, obviously. I love the first play of the game. They got the look that they wanted right away with Debo, and you don't see Debo run that kind of route a lot. He did against the New York Giants. The one game that Brandon Ayuk missed last year, he ran a double move, a stutter and go, and he ran it better. But he ran a decent stutter and go there. Didn't get a lot of separation from the corner. I think it was Devonshire, but he was able to make a heck of a catch. And Brock put it, they were going to go right there. Then they went over to Kittle over the middle. We'll break down the lob over the middle to Kittle. They got the look they wanted with a Tampa 2 with the middle linebacker. So Brock played well. You know, the other side of it is Debo doesn't get a lot of separation on slant routes. That's why, you know, as your ex-wide receiver, you know, Brandon Ayuk with the long arms, the big hands, he goes up and plucks a ball. He does not allow Sam Webb to get on top of him and tip that ball up in the air, and it's intercepted. And you know, that was it for Brock. It was an exciting game. It was a fun game. Yeah, the preseason is the preseason. You see a lot of crazy plays in the preseason. Samson Nakua, you know, Puka's older brother, what a play he had on a missed field goal yesterday for New Orleans. So, you know, they ran back. McAllister runs back 181 yards on a punt. They double Conley, the gunner. And then, you know, when we went into the game, John, we were talking on Friday, it was Garendo. I wanted to see Isaac Garendo, and we wanted to see more Jacob Cowing. They both played well. Matt Barros, who does this just about every week of the season and the offseason, breaks down your 53-man projection on the roster. Well, you know, they're deciding it right now. 49ers are on the practice field today. They're activating. They'll practice today, but tomorrow's an off day when you cut down from 90 to 53. I think Garendo made the team. He'll have a role. Will he be your number one kickoff returner? Obviously, Cowing. You know, played well, caught the ball well from A.J. Cole, a great punter who skies the ball. Ricky Pearsall is going to be out in practice a little more today. We're going to get a little feel for him. Will he have the blue jersey on? And you don't want to dislocate that shoulder again. So it was an exciting game. I don't know how it got to the end. Thought the Niners could kneel the game out. It was two timeouts coming out of the two-minute warning. Same situation against New Orleans last Sunday, and Dennis Allen didn't call a timeout. But the 49ers held on the first play, which stopped the clock and allowed them to get the ball back. And then Kyle went for it on fourth down. The outcome was whatever. But it was a fun game. I mean, the main takeaway were the injuries.
Yep.
Did you see Gross Matos' injury? I didn't see that two snaps before Leonard Floyd's. But I saw Floyd's. And we didn't quite show the entire replay on television, on our broadcast. Sean Madison, our producer, thought it was too gruesome to show. He planted his foot, his right foot, and it hyperextended back the other direction. Malik Collins was in the area, but that was strictly a foot plant and a hyperextension back the other way. And I thought, oh, wow. He stretched ligaments. That is not good. The reports are good. He's day-to-day. Yetur Gross-Matos is week to week. So the main thing is you wanted to get out of that game injury-free. And I don't know what they're going to do. We'll talk to Matt Barros because he asked Kyle the question, John, about how those two injuries impact the D-line. And he said, I'm not going to tell you because it's going to impact our 53-man roster. But those are two – I think, you know, Nick's obviously your end. I think Gross-Matos is your base end a lot. Maybe not right away because Floyd's a splashy name, but Gross-Matos is your big guy, base end, a lot like Cleveland Furl, and then obviously Floyd would sub in, and we saw him. I guess they didn't give him credit for a sack on Peterman, huh? Because Peterman picked up
back
a yard, but you see his ability just to rush the quarterback on his third snap.
Yeah, that was. There were two takeaways off the field. One was that Brandon Ayuk traveled, so I don't know what that means, but I thought that was a good sign. And then, like you said, the two injuries, and especially in a place where they don't have a ton of guys behind them. I mean, Robert Beal is there. They don't have a ton. Barrett made a play, has played pretty well in this preseason, but he always seems to play well. Seattle actually went out and got Travis Gibson because Owosu, their guy who got hurt last year, got hurt again. And I don't know how big that injury is up in Seattle, but big enough to where they went out and got Travis Gibson. We've seen four or five trades, so I wonder if the 49ers do have to go out and make a trade, because sprained knees, I mean, there's severities of all of them. Is that going to be a couple of weeks? Are you going to miss that first game? What's the depth like at the position? It doesn't look great. So do the 49ers have to go out and give up a late-round pick and try to get somebody?
Well, let's see. First of all, 1,184 players are going to get cut between now and 1 o'clock tomorrow. There used to be a staggered where you'd have like three cutdowns in the NFL because guys don't play in the preseason and you want the bodies just to get through it with camp and the games. You keep everybody, then you cut right after the last preseason game. So you're going from 90 to 53. That's 37 a team, 1,184 players. Now, you sign 16 or 17 back the next day with the International Pathway Program player. You get an extra guy, so you bring a lot of them back, and you have 69, 70-man roster. But still, but if somebody's got to get cut, you could make a trade and give up a seventh-round pick or something to get that guy, or just wait and see. New coaches, new GMs, they often will let a player go that's going to make a little money. So let's just see where it's at. Okawanu played well. I thought Johnny had a sack late in the game. You've got Alex Barrett there. I'm not sure. We'll talk to Matt Barrows. He's all over the roster situation. But with Floyd and Matos, those are two of your four guys that are locks to be DN. So right away, without, let's say, Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos can't play 2 weeks from that against the Jets, who are your starting ends? Nick Bosa is one. Who's the other one? Robert Beal Jr.?
It's a good question. Or they could trade for somebody, or like you said, with a bunch of guys on the street, maybe they can grab somebody. A lot of times with these trades, it was a guy who wasn't going to make the team anyway, and then they're able to get that player before they hit the street. So we'll see if the 49ers get active in that regard, and that'll tell you how they really feel about these injuries. Let's ask Matt Barrows about it coming up next. Yep, the injuries. Brandon Ayuk traveled. What does that mean? If anything, he was in Las Vegas, even taking selfies and pictures with fans along the sidelines. It was right across from me. I'm like, maybe I run over to him, but I didn't. But we'll get into all those things. What
he offered
saw.
To come up to the broadcast booth.
Did he really? Yeah, he was. I was on the field. He was right
you
across
will get
from
us
me.
Fired. Do not. We had a long talk. He looked good.
Yeah, he did look good.
When he came on the plane on Thursday, he was bouncing. So it's a day to day thing with that saga. Kind of like Brandon's mood. He felt good on Thursday, and I thought the deal would get done. And then Friday, he was there, but he wasn't there. And then we'll see where it all goes. But he was in a good mood, I would say, all weekend on the trip.
All right, let's get into all of it. Matt Barrows is going to tell us not only about what he saw on Friday, but throughout the preseason now that that is over and we're a couple of weeks, 2 weeks actually, from opening night with the Jets and the 49ers on Monday Night Football. We'll talk about it with Matt Barrows next, only here on the Esports Leader.
Faithful, there's a party happening on our podcast page. Hear every interview from every show on demand at knbr.com/podcast. Now on with the show on the Sports Leader.
Kyle, as far as depth at defensive end, obviously you've got Robert Beal there, but who else in that group has stepped up and who might be able to kind of fill in a spot if Gross-Matos is out for a little while?
I think you'll see when we decide on the 53. That sounds like a question the other 31 teams are trying to get you to ask me. Sorry, man, but it's too hard to talk about the specifics like that right now.
Matt Barrows is getting shut down by Kyle Shanahan on the teleconference. What's up with that, man? A little trust.
Your respects. That's a good question.
At Matt Barrows, make sure that you're following Matt, of course. And now that it is officially, the preseason is over, it's officially the 2024 regular season. Got 2 weeks from today, and the Jets and the 49ers are tonight, actually. Jets and 49ers at Levi's Stadium. So let's get into all of the preseason, what we learned. We get into Friday's game, plus the major thing, the injuries to a couple of defensive ends. We talked about Gross-Matos there and Leonard Floyd, who's supposed to start opposite Nick Bosa and give him that double-digit sack production that he's done throughout his entire career. So what now? At Matt Barrows and Rita Stuff in The Athletic joins us courtesy of the Umaguest Line. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Sorry that we aired that. No, you guys are good. You guys are on good terms. And Kyle?
Crickets. That was a great question.
Do we miss him?
Great question.
Did we lose him?
Barrows, you hang up on us?
No, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I think we lost you for a second there. Obviously, he's not going to answer anything because they're going to figure something out. But as far as the injuries are concerned, what's your concern level, these two guys?
I mean, it doesn't sound like Leonard Floyd is a big concern at all. So your starters at defensive end are going to be there. The question is, Gross Matos, who's your number three, and whether he'll be on hand for the Jets game. Doesn't sound like it would be any longer than that. So nothing long-term, but it's not a particularly deep position. After Gross Matos, you have Robert Beal Jr., who's had a nice summer, and you know, but he's going into his second year, so you really don't know what to expect from him. And then after that, it's a bunch of guys who are probably more practice squad level. And I know fans are saying, well, the 49ers need to scour their waiver wires on Wednesday for defensive ends. I feel like half the league is doing that. There have been a lot of injuries at defensive end this year. So that's a bit of a concern entering the season. I think it's a season-long concern. Of course, we've got these two injuries right off the bat at that spot. The other one is Talanoa Hufanga, who's obviously coming off the ACL. My sense is that he's going to begin the season on PUP, and then they'll have to do the thing where they bring up a safety from the practice squad, maybe during that first month where he's not active.
Well, that'll be interesting because Jair Brown obviously is a lock starter at free. And then George Odom was going to play against the Raiders, but he turned his ankle in pregame. They didn't like him covering the first kick, so they pulled him. And then you've got Malik Mustafa and Tracy Walker is the veteran I think you're thinking about that could come up. So what do you think? If and I agree with you. I think Talanoa is going to go on PUP. He'll miss at least the first four games of the year. Who do you think? Would they go so young as to start Jair Brown as a first-year full-time starter and a second-year guy next to a rookie and Malik Mustafa, Matt?
I think it'll be Jair Brown and George Odom to begin the season. Maybe that first month, that's the starting duo. And I think Jair Brown, I mean, if it's not Jair Brown, it's Diamador Lenore as far as my pick for the training camp superstar who had the best off season of any 49er. I would put those two right at the top. Probably Demo Lenore number one and Jair Brown number two. So I mean, Brown has been really a good pick. He's smart. He's aggressive. He's everything you want in a safety. And I think he makes for a good duo with George Odom. The problem is that George Odom plays, very rough and tumble style. He's on all of the special teams units. He got hurt last year, as you noted. He got hurt in that for the Raiders game in that finale. So it is a question mark, the depth there. And I think that Tracy Walker is the key. He's a veteran. He's played in a lot of games. They signed him last month, I think, as sort of assurance. Now, to me, the question is, does he make the 53-man roster, or does he go to practice squad and they just bring him up for that first month while Hufanga is still getting back into shape?
Our guy Matt Barros is joining us, at Matt Barros from all his great stuff in The Athletic, talking some Niners as they're done with the preseason. It's Pop and Lund here on the Sports Leader. Good news today, Ricky Pearsall is going to practice. What do you expect out of him early on in his return to practice, and do you think he'll be ready 2 weeks from tonight?
I think he will be. I mean, obviously the shoulder has been problematic. It's kept him out of a lot of practices. It kept him out of the entire preseason. The slight silver lining to that is that he did practice throughout the spring, and that was a period where obviously, no Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings was in and out of practice. They rotate their receivers heavily. He got a lot of reps in the spring, and he got a lot of reps with Brock Purdy. So the 49ers got a fairly good look at him at that point. Everything that they liked about him, especially his separation, was on display. So I think the feeling is that, they feel good about him. They feel good about the role that they had earmarked for him going into the season. Not a huge role. Could be a huge role if there are injuries or holdouts and things like that. But I don't think it really, in the long run, is going to have a big impact. Now, if the shoulder becomes problematic, and there's a reason to think that it might. When someone separates his shoulder, it loosens the ligaments in that joint. And if it doesn't heal correctly, it can keep happening over and over again. And this is obviously something that happened to him in college. It happened in the spring, and then it happened again in the summer. So there is a concern that this could be a recurring issue.
Totally. You nailed it. So that is, we'll see if they put the blue jersey on him today. You don't want your own teammates rerouting and being physical, but the Jets will know that he's got that problem. So that's something that they got under control right now. But how do you ultimately keep that socket in place? Does he need to have surgery at some point? And you don't want to do that now, which leads to, you know, the Brandon Ayuk situation. There's always a series of deadlines. I think we're facing one tomorrow at 1 o'clock. With Trent Williams, Matt, you just put him on the did not report list. So he won't count on the 53 tomorrow. There is no such list for Ayuk. So, I mean, we all think they're going to keep six, and Brandon will be one with Debo and Jennings and Conley and the two rookies, Cowing and Pearsall. But what, I mean, do they have to keep a seventh, or maybe to the practice squad a seventh and an eighth? Just how do they handle Brandon Ayuk tomorrow at 1 o'clock if the contract is still in limbo?
I mean, my sense is that he kind of remains on the active roster with the hope, the expectations that they eventually sign him. They keep six usually, but they've kept five in the past, and they only have five up on game days. So let's say that Ayuk is the sixth guy. I don't think that really changes what their lineup would look like heading into the Jets game. I mean, it would be dependent on, you know, Ricky Pearsall being ready to play, Ricky Pearsall's shoulder being ready to play. So that's a factor. But I think they're only going to have five wide receivers in uniform against the Jets. That makes me think that they could continue to have Brandon Ayuk on the active roster. But it's a good question. I don't know. You're right. I mean, last year with Nick Bosa, he was like Trent Williams, where he wasn't counting as a roster spot at this point on roster cutdown day. So they were able to kind of get around it at that point. It's a question we'll find out around 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Matt Maros is joining Talking Niners. So in the preseason, everybody gets excited about all these rookie draft picks, but now it comes down to the regular season and how much will they contribute. So Pearsall will throw him out because he hasn't played in the preseason, but Renardo Green, Dominic Pooney, and then the 3 fourth rounders in Mustafa, Guendo, and Cowing all flashed in the preseason. Of those guys, it looks like they've hit again on some of these guys in the mid rounds like they often do, but of those guys, who do you expect to be big contributors come regular season time?
Yeah, the fourth round is the new fifth round this year. That's if they didn't have a fifth rounder, so I guess that makes sense. To answer your question, Pooney's going to play, you know, 68, 70 snaps two Mondays from now. So that's a big deal. That's very rare in the Shanahan Lynch era. Mike McGlinchey, a top 10 pick back in 2018. Is the only other rookie in this regime's history to have done that. Spencer Burford played a lot as a rookie, but remember he was platooning with a veteran at the time. So I think he's been a real pleasant surprise, and I'm not exactly sure what the 49ers would have done had he not been here. But he's playing a spot that he really hasn't played a lot of in the past. Didn't play a lot of guard and didn't play a lot of right guard. So it's been a really, really good summer for him. And then after that, I would say it's Cowing, because I think he's going to be Debo's understudy the way that Ray McLeod was in previous years. And I think he's going to be the top punt return guy, too. So that's a big role. That's a big role underneath the lights on national television against the Jets on the opening day.
The tight end room, George Kittle, Eric Saubert, Braden Willis, Locks. Do they keep a fourth, and who are you picking that would be?
No, David and I did our 53-man projection the other day, and tight end and linebacker actually ended up being the toughest predictions for us. I do think they keep a fourth, and I do think that the fourth is Cameron Latu, despite his early career struggles and inconsistencies and drops. To me, the fact that he knows how to block, is the key part. I mean, I think that they gave Jake Tondras and they gave Braden Willis a lot of reps as a blocker, as a lead blocker. I think one of the takeaways from the summer is that those two guys are a work in progress when it comes to that. They're really good receivers. I think Tondras is really a nice target for the quarterbacks, but on this team in particular, you need that tight end to be able to block. And I don't think that Latu is game day ready yet. I don't think he'll be active for week one against the Jets, but I think that they feel like, okay, we knew that he was going to be a project, but we took him in the third round because we think that he can be an all-around tight end, a very rare commodity in the NFL, a guy that can both block on the end of the line and catch passes. And I don't know whether that that narrative has changed. I still think that they believe that. Am I confident about that? I don't know. They just re-signed Logan Thomas, for example. Why would they have re-signed a guy last week if they were just going to cut him on Tuesday? So it's a bit of a question mark what they do with that fourth spot.
What was your toughest debate, like that you guys were debating back and forth on who to keep, who to cut?
Well, that was one of them. And then the last linebacker was a question, too. And we had them keeping six, which is a lot of linebackers. But they have those three young guys, the two draft picks from last season and then Tatum Bethune this year. And they also have two veterans that they rely on quite a bit, Curtis Robinson and Demetrius Flanagan Fowles. And the joke among the beat writers is that when Kyle Shanahan is composing his 53-man roster, the first name on that list isn't Brock Purdy or Nick Bosa. The first name is Demetrius Flanagan Fowles. He always seems to make this roster. The special teams coaches like him. Johnny Holland, the linebackers coach, loves him. So I think he's making the team. This injury to D. Winters is interesting. I don't know how severe the ankle injury is. Kyle Shanahan said yesterday that they were still awaiting MRI results on it. But if it is serious, if it's a multi-week injury, I mean, he could be somebody that also starts the season on an injury list, and that sort of takes care of that that remaining spot there, and he would come back in October or November. But yeah, that's a tough one to predict as well.
Backup quarterback.
you love this one.
Well, it's an important position on a team, and hopefully it's not, but it is big. And the NFL has clarified the rules on the third quarterback and being on the practice squad. I think it's a lock. It's going to go back to what it was last year. You got to have three quarterbacks on the 53. But really, the third quarterback is an emergency coming in the fourth quarter only if the other two are hurt. So whoever the backup, it's a big difference between being number two and number three. Can you tell which one Kyle likes more and which one do you like more between Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs?
I like Josh Dobbs a little bit more just because I think that he offers a little bit more upside, especially with, you know, his ability to run. What I think, however, doesn't really matter. The question is what do Kyle and what do Brian Griese think? And I've heard that Griese really loves Brandon Allen. And you can see why. I mean, he's totally reliable. I think he's shown – second year in this offense, he's really mastered it, and he's becoming more aggressive with his throws, which I think is something that's important to Kyle Shanahan. I think that they're very comfortable with Brandon Allen as their number two, and he's probably the number two right now. My sense is that, you know, to your point, they're going to keep all three quarterbacks on the active roster just like they did last year. So, who's number two, who's number three? Obviously, that would be a big deal if there's an injury to Brock Purdy. But as it pertains to roster cutdown day, I don't think it really matters.
All right, we're asking everybody this. Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, do you expect one, two, or neither 2 weeks from tonight?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk, do you expect both of them to be on the field 2 weeks from tonight, neither of them, one of them? What do you think?
I think both of them. The one that I'm less sure about is actually Williams, and I realize a lot of people have said, oh, that's much more kind of elementary problem to solve as far as his contract. But I don't know. He's a guy that doesn't seem like he's in a big rush to play games, certainly at the beginning of the season. He's held out a full season in the past, totally different circumstances. But he's not someone who's going to kind of succumb to the deadline pressure, I don't believe. You know, Trent Williams is 36. He's played deep into each of the last three seasons. I think he realizes the importance of being healthy and being up to speed in December and January, more so than doing that in early September.
Good stuff, Maddie. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. We always appreciate the insight, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks,
nice talking to you.
You too. At Matt Barris, make sure that you're following him all throughout the season. By the way, no big names here. Matt Breida, the biggest, released. Keyshawn Vaughn as well, waived. Hunter Presley Harvin, offensive lineman Lewis Kidd, and wide receiver Jontre Kirkland. So that's what we've got so far as the 49ers, as they prepare, like everybody does in the rest of the league, to release down to 53 and then add up to 69 because they get 16 on the practice squad.
And 17 with the international player.
Yeah.
So obviously with Breida, and I wonder what running backs they're going to put on the practice squad. He just runs so well, and then Patrick Taylor. But the key thing is Presley Harvin the third means that Mitch Wishnowsky will be healthy enough to punt in 2 weeks' time. And he said it all the while, but I haven't seen him punt at all in a long time. He's been holding for Jake Moody, but he hasn't been punting. And I wonder how quickly will somebody else, some other team, pick up Presley Harvin III. That guy has a big-time leg.
He does. All right, I asked Matt Barris this question. It seems like there's some weird stuff with Trent Williams going on. We'll ask that question, plus get Papa's thoughts on the preseason as well. By the way, if you'd like to opine, and we don't have to officially do it, but ask Pop anything at all about the preseason for the 49ers, hit us up in the Golden State Lumber and Building Materials text line and call in line 415-808-KMBR, 415-808-5627. We'll do it coming up next only here on these.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In-store at mybobs.com.
Later.
Papa and Lund continue live from the KNBR Casino Matrix Progressive Jackpot Studios. Casino Matrix, progressive jackpots are here. Where are you? Just drop in. Please play responsibly. 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, I was told from somebody involved in the situation that he is not going to be available until he gets his contract adjusted. He's got 3 years left on his deal. That could bleed into the regular season with us just being a few weeks away. This is a player who's made about $150 million in his career. He's been taking up golf, kind of stayed away from the team, doing his own thing, still training, of course, getting ready for the season potentially. But he's not overly stressed to have to be out there right now, and he's the fourth highest paid left tackle despite being the best the last 2 years. So the 49ers know they have to do something here, could sweeten the guarantees on his contract. Mm-hmm. So they're dealing with Brandon Ayuk at the same time. They're trying to get this guy done. So they're hoping he'll be in the lineup here soon.
All right, that's Jeremy Fowler, VSPN, and we'll play for you Adam Schefter from this morning on the Pat McAfee Show. But of the two, I always thought it was, you know, Trent Williams would get done, and it was kind of an adjustment, kind of like what they made with Christian McCaffrey. But as of this morning, it sounds like Trent Williams, because Matt Barris said it, and you heard Jeremy Fowler kind of use similar language, in that Trent's not really in a rush to get back. He's older, doesn't, you know, a camp is over. But he doesn't sound like he's in a rush to get back. He did not break news when he said that Trent needed a new contract. We all know that. But I thought this was kind of going to be a quick adjustment and Trent was going to be back. But it sounds like this morning it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy, that was over the weekend. And the insiders are doing a good job. They really don't know anything. I mean, the bottom line is there's no new information there at all. They are working on his contract, and they have been. And there has been dialogue. Initially, there was no real dialogue back and forth, and Trent just went dark shortly into training camp. But they've been talking, and they're working on a deal to get it done. It's 2 weeks away. And, you know, a lot of these guys, and everybody's talking about CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase and Hassan Reddick and obviously Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. This is it. We're at the end. We have the two-minute warning now. You got 2 weeks to go before the opener. You don't want to miss game checks for the regular season. Trent has missed over $1 million in game checks for the preseason. So they're talking to Vincent Taylor. They're going to figure out a way to get it done. I think the one most interesting comment that wasn't from an insider is from DJAX, DeSean Jackson, who is tight with Trent. They were teammates together in Washington when Kyle was there running his old man's offense. And they had that play where they ran a bubble screen out to DeSean Jackson, and Trent would get out in space at left tackle. We have news right now here as we're talking.
Well, this is kind of interesting in that it may affect Brandon Ayuk. It didn't look like the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb were close on a deal, but they are now. We don't have the particulars on guaranteed money, and that's the big deal. But it's 4 and 136 as the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb have agreed to a deal. That's 34 per year. So Justin Jefferson's at 35, and now CeeDee Lamb is going to be at 34. So 4 and 136, according to Adam Schefter, and we will keep you up to date on what he's getting paid as far as the guaranteed money, because that's where the hang-up seems to be with Brandon Ayuk. So 4 and 136, 34 per season for CeeDee Lamb.
So, I mean, that's it. Now it's 2 weeks, you know, and Jerry Jones has been playing coy on this. There's no urgency to do it, and then we're in a good place. He's been talking all the while. So they're giving CeeDee a $38 million signing bonus, the largest ever given to a wide receiver. That's not true. Justin Jefferson got $87.5 million signing bonus, but that's a big payday. I don't think that impacts Brandon, honestly. I think CeeDee Lamb was going to come in, probably tried to get more than Justin Jefferson, and then he came in just a tick under. We'll see what the real guarantees are that Tory Dandy of CAA was able to get on this deal. But I don't think Brandon Ayuk was trying to make more than CeeDee Lamb. I think he's trying to get to $30 million a year. And we saw him on the plane on Thursday. We chatted with him all weekend and a nice visit with him on Friday. He looks great, wearing his hair a little differently, not with dreadlocks and out in a fro, but he looks good. Stylish sunglasses. I thought after Thursday, with his mood, it was going to be done, and they're right at the end now. So we'll see where it goes. It goes day to day based on Brandon's moods a lot on this contract extension. So. But the CeeDee Lamb, Brandon's not going to get that kind of money. I mean, teams, Pittsburgh offered him less. New England did offer him 32.5, but not 34. So I don't think that's what he's looking for. That's more Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati and what he's trying to do. And Chase is under contract for 2 more years, so he's got a ways to go. But that is, and that's what I'm talking about, John, is that we're 2 weeks away now. And next week is Labor Day, and you come back. First of all, it's cut down day tomorrow. You know, when I was talking to Matt Barrows, is if you don't have Brandon Ayuk on the roster, you're going to have to cut a wide receiver that may get picked up. Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray are not perfect players, but they were drafted players. You don't want to do that. What do you do with Trent Taylor? So you want to be able to, you know, get this done by tomorrow at 1 o'clock our time, but they've been trying to get it done by, you know, 12 yesterdays ago. So it's something you got to get through, but I think that this is – you're going to see it throughout the league now. Maybe not Ja'Marr Chase, because that one's got a little time on it. Mike Brown's tough. But I think you'll see Hassan Reddick and the Jets. I'm wondering, you know, Trent Williams going to play against the Jets? Is Hassan Reddick going to play against the 49ers 2 weeks from tonight? When you start getting to missing regular season game checks and 1/17th of your salary, you're talking big money. So we'll see. But I think CeeDee Lamb is an entity unto himself. I don't think Brandon Ayuk is quite in that stratosphere, but it's a good deal for him, and it's a good deal just to move this along to get BA in camp. He's in camp, but actually get him to practice.
Yeah. Here's the deal. So Justin Jefferson at 35, 34 for CD. A.J. Brown, this is AAV, 32. Amon-Ra St. Brown, $30 million. Tyreek, $30 million. So that's where Brandon Ayuk wants to be, and we've reported this before. Month or so ago, Mike Silver told us 26. We've heard it jumped up to 28. We've heard it's even gotten higher than that. But again, it's about that check that they're going to hand you. And, you know, 1/17th of that money, just to say $30 million, you know, you're at $1.8 million. So just to your point of, yeah, Trent Williams has racked up a lot of money, but there's a difference between the Trent Williams money that he's racked up and Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk's made $12 million in his career to this point. Look, he's not going to starve. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you start losing, he's not going to get fined because he's in the fifth year of his contract, so they're going to fine him for the hold-in. But there's nothing they can do. If you don't play, you don't get paid. So Brandon Ayuk's going to miss out on $1.8 million. That's a ton of money. And that's motivation in and of itself to possibly get this deal done. So, again, if you just tuned in, CeeDee Lamb, deal done at $34 million per over four. We don't know the exact check that he's going to get, but I think that's where the holdup is with the 49ers. If they are close or have agreed to the AAV, it's a matter of how big is the check, the guaranteed money, which is the biggest thing in the NFL. Well,
which can come at a signing bonus, but there's other guarantees that are benchmarks along the way. So I think what you're looking at for Brandon is a four-year deal at about $30 million a year, and it's been reported by Garofolo that the first 3 years of the contract are agreed to. They're working out how much of the fourth year do you guarantee. And that truly is what drives up the entire, not the entire, but a huge amount of the guarantee. So CeeDee Lamb's deal, 4 years at $136 million, $100 million is guaranteed, but it's really not $100 million. Guaranteed. You'd have to look and see exactly what is fully guaranteed. He did get a $38 million signing bonus, CeeDee Lamb, but nothing like Justin Jefferson got from the Wolves, who wrote him a check for $87.5 million. So it's a huge contract, but the key thing, the average annual value, I think, is something you can work around and slide around. But then how do you structure the deal? You know, say he signs a four-year 30 each, you know, but it's not going to be 30 every single year. It's going to be backloaded. And what's that fourth year of the contract valued at? And then if that's not guaranteed, that's a huge part of his salary. What if you schedule to make $40 million in year four and the 49ers can buy him out for $5 million or whatever? I have no idea about the numbers. I don't even ask about it. But just that would be the structure of it. So that's a good contract for CeeDee Lamb, obviously. But of the $100 million guaranteed, how many are actually fully guaranteed that he will get?
Yeah, so that's the biggest deal. So another wide receiver off the board. I agree with you. Ja'Marr Chase isn't getting done. The Bengals are the cheapest team in all of the NFL, and it's a two-year window for him. So he's not getting done till next year, which he returned to practice. So we're sitting out here. The only guy left really is Brandon Ayuk because Chase isn't getting a deal this year. So with all these guys getting done, it comes down to the last guy who's going to get a new deal, which is Brandon Ayuk. And then as far as the Trent Williams is concerned, here's a little bit of Adam Schefter. And again, maybe it's just recycled news. This was Schefter on Trent Williams this morning on Pat McAfee.
I think there is some concern. I think their offensive line didn't play particularly well the other night. And I don't know. I don't think that they've made a lot of progress so far. I don't think that Trent Williams is closer to coming in today. I also think that we're entering a week now where the 49ers play 2 weeks from tonight against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. 2 weeks from tonight, which is amazing to think about. And I just think that this is the week where I'm expecting every one of these situations to have some type of ramped up activity. Now, I don't know that all of them will get solved. I'd love to see every one of them get solved and kind of have everybody move ahead to the season. But how would the 49ers not make renewed efforts this week to try to figure out and resolve the Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams situations? How would the Bengals not figure out ways to do Chase and the Cowboys and Lamb and the Jets and Hassan Reddick? Like every single one of these situations, we're at a pretty critical juncture here for team and player. And it's time as teams are adjusting their rosters to crack down on all these situations and figure out if everybody can solve it, to move past it and to get the guy back in so everybody can begin getting ready for opening day together.
You know, it used to be really cool when Adam Schefter said anything. Like, he didn't even say anything right there. Like, there was nothing. Like, when it used to be when Adam Schefter would come on a show or come on ESPN or something, he actually broke news. Like, he just sat there. Yeah, no kidding. Everything you just said, no kidding, dude.
You sound like Al Davis. You really turned on
Adam
Schefter.
He didn't say anything.
Is he the rumor monger? Because Adam Schefter says what he's told, and he gets insider information, and the guys with the NFL Network, because it's a league-owned entity, they get it as well. He's not being told things right now.
He said it's the deadline and they got to get something done. It's like, well, no kidding, dude.
because the teams don't leak it out. Sometimes they do, but mainly it's the agent. And if the agent doesn't want to tell you, he doesn't really have any information there. But CeeDee Lamb, as he's going on, CeeDee Lamb is done.
And he didn't have any insight on that.
Nothing's happening. Well, of course they're talking. They talk all the time. That's what their jobs are. The agent's trying to get the player in. Brandon Ayuk wants to be in. Trent Williams wants to be in. Vincent Taylor is Trent's agent. He's very well respected. They'll get it done. So when I was talking about DeSean Jackson and then the breaking news sounder came, because CeeDee Lamb is now under contract to agree to a deal with Dallas. DeSean Jackson said, and I'm surprised nobody's picking up on this, but he knows Trent Williams, and he said, I just talked to him, and the deal's done. They're redoing his contract. He's happy with it, and it's going to be done. So now that's been over a week now, so I kind of thought he would be in. But you are into training camp is over. The last preseason game is done. They're going to have a couple to practice, one today. They're off tomorrow, player for a purpose, and they have the weekend off. So, really, for Trent, you want him rolling in that all-electric Rolls-Royce on Labor Day, a week from today, if they make him come back, because you got a week before the game. So, DeSean Jackson kind of said, and he's tight with Trent. He talks to him, and he said they've redone his deal. He's happy with it, and it's going to be done. It's just a question of when they – and when you have a contract of this kind of money, it takes a while for agents to actually, you know, put it to paper and everybody agree to the language, and you go back and change language on minor points, and it takes a long time before you can actually get a contract you want to sign. So, John, I think this is where it's going to happen here. We're in a two-minute warning. You got 2 weeks to go. For Dallas, even less. They're playing on Sunday, so it's less than 2 weeks. And it's a week until, you know, next week it starts with installation days around the league, and it's time to go. So CeeDee Lamb is signed. I think the Niners will get them both signed. We'll see about Haason Reddick. Is he going to line up? That guy's a pure edge rusher. He'll be over McKivitt's side. He won't go over to Trent. So you're asking, is Trent going to play? I want to know if Haason Chop is going to play in 2 weeks.
All right, give us your thoughts. 415-808-KMBR, 415-808-5627, Gold State Lumber and Building Materials text line. So that is the latest on Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, whether you like it or not. We're coming down to it. And as Adam Schefter says, it's a deadline, and they're talking. Thank you, Mr. Insider. All right, well, we will talk about the preseason, what we learned, and what we learned on Friday night specifically, especially those rookies for the 49ers who may have to contribute sooner rather than later. We'll do that next, only here on the Sports Leader.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
You're also saying the record's going to go down.
I'm saying the record's going down anyway.
The guy. I don't think you're off on this at all. Like, you're spot on here. I don't think this is an overreaction because we have no idea what we're reacting to.
Come react or overreact with us.
How would you say that?
An overreaction, sir. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.